I want to talk some more about this aspect of the meat offering. Back go to Leviticus 2. We'll just make this a brief one. Leviticus 2, verse 1. We studied last time about that the offering was made of flour, and I want to, and we've touched on it before, but I want to emphasize it tonight, that the offering is of fine flour, and what that means. Remember the meat, what is the function? What is the primary aspect of the meat offering? That it doesn't require a life, and it satisfies all of the requirements between man to man. Just as the burnt offering requires a life, but it satisfies the requirements of man to God. Right? Meat offering, man to man. If you apprehend the meat offering, you've then apprehended all of your duty to your fellow man. Now, and each of these aspects of it reveals a mystery. Now, the one biggest mystery that we need to see from the standpoint of the fine, that it's fine flour, is that there is absolutely no unevenness in it. That means that you treat every man in the face of the earth the same. Yeah. Is that right, Harry?
Yep, that's right. That's what I would have said.
You got it, boss.
Harry was dancing again this morning.
Correct, sir.
He started doing his little dance for the media types. And he didn't realize he was doing it. Until I called him over and I said, Harry, you're dancing. In that minute, he knew it. It's vital that we see that we do not have to either talk down to anybody or talk up to anybody. We don't have to suck up to anybody. We don't have to. We see all men as equal, and we treat all men equally. There's no difference. There's no unevenness in the fine flour. You understand that clearly?
Anything else is sin.
Big time. Anything else? You crucify the Son of God afresh.
And you have to judge after the flesh in order to do it.
Now,
that's the only reason you would treat one human being different than another. Would be judging
this,
after the fall.
This kind of ties into some of it. You know, like in our group, I mean, there's been a big thing about a difference between
suicide.
Somebody saying I'm sorry and asking for forgiveness, and it's really tied in because when you say that thing about unevenness, you know, there's, you know, forgiveness makes everything. I mean, you're not making some offering of fear. You're not losing something.
Saying you're sorry is just the repentance of the world. It leads to regret. It's nothing, but it's based on sorry. It's based on this unevenness thing. It either elevates you or denigrates you. But to seek forgiveness is the great equalizer.
You can't really seek forgiveness without the cross because you can't actually ask for it.
You can't possibly know that that had to happen to you to bring you to this point. Now, the other thing about it is there was a grand consistency about in fine flour. It's not only not, it's no, there's no unevenness in it in any given moment. There is no inconsistency over a long period of time. And that means that circumstances or the passage of time don't affect how you respond to people. You're going to respond the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're going to respond the same because he responded the same. He didn't respond to the Pharisees one way one day and then another way another day. He responded to the Pharisees evenly. He didn't stay where he was desired, and he didn't run from where he was unwanted. There was a consistency, because he set his face like flint to go up to Jerusalem, not the Jerusalem of the flesh, but the Spirit. Now, we know that we are resident in the New Jerusalem 24 hours a day, so there can be no unevenness in us. We can be the same in every each one of these arenas, in time and in circumstance. Amen? What?
Well, there's something about that that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I don't know if it's from a physics standpoint or what standpoint, but it makes sense, because if a thing is consistent over time, that means it's not time dependent. If it's consistent in various states and various locations, that means that space has no control over it. Therefore, it's outside of time and space.
Right.
And therefore, any time it sticks itself into time and space, it would be the same. So I don't know what I'm saying, but I know that there's something there very big.
Sort of like truth, huh?
Something very big.
It's tempered. Now, one day's walk didn't contradict another day's walk. And 1 hour's service didn't clash with the next hours of service. In other words, and that consistency, I can't tell you how important that consistency is in discipleship.
So the thing is more important.
Especially in raising of children. There's no thing more important than consistency.
Even if it's consistently bad,
it's better. I'm serious.
Yeah. Quickest way to drive somebody crazy is with inconsistent discipline.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's one of the big. Right.
You've certainly been consistent over the years.
Huh?
I said you've certainly been consistent over the years.
Hope so.
You're the one who's been on it.
He said that with a, he said that with a wry grin. What does he mean by that?
He was just agreeing.
People saw you.
Firmness didn't degenerate into stubbornness. Right, Judy?
Do it now that you say it.
Calmness didn't degenerate into indifference. Hello, John.
How did you just do that?
Huh?
That's the old job.
I'm not doing it now.
And gentleness didn't degenerate into weakness. Hello, Pete.
There's a few of those in there.
Ring the bell.
Correct, sir.
So what does this mean? We can try to do it. We can try to get it right next time. Judy's going to try it with everything in her not to be stubborn tomorrow.
I don't believe that.
He's not.
She stubbornly refuses to do that.
Rick's going to try with everything in him not to be a weasel tomorrow. Won't work. He'll be a weasel. Harry will be a Nazi. That's too easy.
Holly will be a wonderful, perfect person.
No, go ahead. You pick on me. Pick on everybody else.
Nah. I just want to take the cheap shots tonight.
The layups, are just, pardon the expression.
What?
The layups, so to speak.
If we try in our own strength to correct these inconsistencies, we'll become disastrous. What we'll do is we'll give breath. We'll give all the land back, and we'll become 10,000 times worse than our worst imagination. What do? Well, we see Jesus. We see that he completed it in that moment. We are completing it. We become as he is because we see him as he is.
Yeah, I think about the Peter, you know, and all the personality of you know, the Bible, and how their weakness or whatever their propensity was transformed into something precious. You know, it was their whatever, a they happen to be, unbelief or Thomas or doubt.
Well, we talked about this once, but I talked here about in Paul, it was his energy, and Peter, it was zeal, and John, it was affection. Their graces, we see their own failings. Paul repents, but doesn't repent. Peter steps into the water, then sinks. Again, remember this thing we talked about. Through zeal, he occupies a place, or he takes a place, that he doesn't have the grace to occupy. That's the lesson of Peter walking into the water. Through zeal, he took the place they didn't have the grace to occupy. Well, we've seen that 1,000 times here. But that's the mystery of discipleship.
Yeah, plus flour doesn't grind itself up.
Right.
Or beat itself
up. Right. It goes by. Huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, when you feel like firmness turning into oppression. I mean, I think back on all the times when, you know, when you recognize these failings, when I recognize failings and then try to
correct,
compensate, you know, it has, you know, it's, it always has a disastrous effect. Or in any way, an effect that's not what I wanted. You know, it doesn't get the desired result.
Well, Peter then, he follows Jesus and then denies him. His affection leads him to desire the highest seat, John's affection. Then he would call down fire on all who would reject Jesus. Now, again, if we look at each other, that's all we'll see is these kinds of things in 1,000 that are worse than that, than any we saw in the disciples, because they were just stick figures. But we look at him, we look at that sacrifice, and we see no unevenness. And then we return. Because remember, that's all the purpose of time and space. The only purpose of time and space isn't these talk shows, or isn't media, or isn't anything except discipleship. And discipleship is the process of, really, in a very real sense, discipleship is the process of finding the envelope, finding the barrier. Keep pushing the barrier, keep pushing it outward and outward. That's why Pharisaical discipleship is a process of making the tent ropes narrower and narrower and narrower. Where true discipleship is the aspect of expanding the horizons until it includes all of time and space itself. And in that process of expanding it to see and then failing and then seeing him and resting in him, then expanding beyond your limit again and then failing and seeing him and resting in him. That process repeated time and time again until you have the grace to occupy all of time and space. That's discipleship. Till there is no thing that will put you on a trip. That's why you're so lucky to have me. Because once I can't put you in a trip, then nobody in the universe can put you on a trip.
You know, it's not like, you know, in this grinding process, in this body, my stubbornness or anybody else's deal.
Let's pick on yours.
Okay, my stubbornness is, it becomes perfect in concert with everybody else.
Right.
But it's never going to, by appearances, it's never going to get fixed.
Right.
Because
that would just make
everybody the same.
Right. If you're seen, it's what he said, if you as an individual will always be a stubborn bitch.
Yeah. And I like it that way, doesn't it?
But you as a member of the body, now we are the body of Christ, that will be transformed to be
whatever it needs.
Yeah. But that's why,
well, you know that, and you can really see that in the analogies. You can see it in a body, a body. You can see it in a tribe. You can see it in a flock. mean, that's consistently true. A flock of sheep is not a bunch of sheep that are exactly the same.
Well, we will continue. That's enough for tonight. I don't feel like talking anymore. It's been a rough few days.
You know, I, when you were talking about it, I had a thought about, if we look at, you know, about, just thinking about the all the media stuff, and I thought about it on, as a, us being just faithful, just to say, without regard to the results of it, you know, as a whole, mostly from God's point of view, that he doesn't care what comes of it, and whether or not anything comes of it. It may be, you know, totally orchestrated, just you know, for no other reason than to see if we would be faithful with what was put before us and not get sucked into it.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost also outlandishly crazy that, you know, that because it just suddenly it's all dumped on us.
Day after day,
story after story in the paper, you know, like
We were talking in the car on the way to the airport about this. So. Thinking about all he was talking about, this thing about consistency and being the same with all people. And I told him that this morning, after he told me what I was doing, I sat and I listened to the rest of the morning Bible study. I realized that unless you are like that, unless you are the same to everyone, unless you are consistent, it is impossible to preach the cross. It's impossible to speak the cross. Because without that consistency, then I will automatically change what I say to someone basis whether I see them above me or below me or able to meet my need or not able to meet my need. And I will
temper my words. It'll always be an agenda.